Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is a pleasure to be back with you once again. We are in the midst of our Grizzlies prospect profiles as we're leading up to the 2020 NBA draft. The Grizzlies pick at 40, so we're not really talking about, you know, a lot of picks, you know, that are there in the first round. We're mainly looking at those picks who are very intriguing as we get into, you know, perhaps the late first, early second round. So far, we've discussed names such as Tyler Bay, Xavier Tillman, Peyton Pritchard. You can find myself at StatsSAC. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz. And you can find the podcast anywhere podcasts are available. Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your iPhone. Right now, we're in the midst of the series, so you'll be able to find my prospect profiles for several of those prospects. It's been a lot of fun learning a lot of really cool things about prospect analysis and things such as that when it comes to the NBA draft. So really having a great time being able to kind of guide y'all through some of the more notable names who have been linked to the Grizzlies in one way, shape, or form, you know, over the past several months leading up to this draft. Today, we're going to continue that series, and we're going to change it up a little bit in terms of the type of prospect that we're going to be looking at. In this episode, we're going to be looking at Duke freshman Cassius Stanley, a name that was linked to the Grizzlies quite a bit before the suspension of the season due to COVID. In the first segment, we're going to talk about what stands out about Stanley, you know, as a prospect. In the second segment, talk about obviously how his stats, you know, both support his strengths and point out some of the weaknesses in his game. In the third segment, we're going to talk about how he fits the Grizzlies. I do think there's definitely a clear fit for Stanley in Memphis, but is his skill set something that they really want to invest in, you know, without knowing a lot about, you know, how he can develop in areas that they truly need? Myself, I've been covering the Grizzlies now for a little over 2 years. Started, you know, I've been with Grizzly Bear Blues now for that period of time. Love covering the Grizzlies, love riding over there with the great team that they've got at GBB. I've been podcasting now for about a year and a half. Started off on the 3&D podcast independently, then through the GBB network, and now I've been here for about 6 months. And like I say, that's the reason why I do these shows, and I cherish every chance that I get to do them. Just the ability to, you know, share my passion for the Grizzlies sports, the NBA, and just in general, being able to interact with those who share the same passions as I do. That's why I enjoy every moment that I get to do these type of podcasts. So we've talked about, you know, several folks, you know, some, you know, in terms of developmental bigs, a few wings that can make sense for the Grizzlies as far as depth goes. And of course, Peyton Pritchard, you know, a guard who has a lot of intangibles that, you know, could make him make sense, you know, for the Grizzlies going forward. But I think that Stanley is a bit different in terms of his type of prospect profile when it comes to these second round options that are out there. For a lot of these players that I mentioned, you're talking about a lot of 22-year-olds who are limited in terms of projectability, whether it be through athleticism, you know, whatever it may be. They're naturally limited in terms of their upside, but they make up for it through instinct, IQ, you know, production, things such as that. They're more of high floor guys for a lot of the guys that I've brought up so far than they are high ceiling. But that's not the case with Stanley. Stanley does have a decent floor, but it's not because of, you know, of instinct and IQ and things like that. It's not that he can't develop that, but Stanley literally is someone that stands out as one of the best athletes in the 2020 NBA draft. And that's the number one thing that stands out about him. He is an explosive athlete, someone that can leap out of the gym, someone that is very quick. You know, a lot of times we talk about guys who are quick, you know, they're quicker than they are fast, so on and so forth, or they may be able to have jumping ability. He's got it all. He's got incredible athleticism, you know, for being a 21-year-old. And at 6'6", 195 pounds, there also is, you know, an intriguing size there as well. He's not that long in terms of length. He's only got a 6'7 wingspan. But, you know, his athleticism is so, you know, apparent that in a 2019 a scouting report on ESPN, they even came out to say that Stanley may be the most athletic basketball player to come out of the South California area in over 20 years. That's the level of athleticism that Stanley really shows out as. He was a freshman at Duke, and what stands out also about him is that he is 21 years old. But if you look at his highlights at Duke, the versatility that he offers off the ball with his athleticism really stands out. Of course, the number one thing is his ability off the ball in transition. His ability to be able to finish, his ability to be able to get out in front of the defense, his ability to get out in the open court and be an option to advance the ball down the court and then, you know, get it to the rim. His ability to be there as a lob option, somebody that can get open to, you know, even on the baseline in the half court and things such as that. There's a lot of off the ball intrigue, especially in transition, and as a finisher in Stanley's game. It makes him a very, very intriguing slasher. Now, when it comes to the ability to slash, though, it's not all about athletic ability, and that is something that Stanley is going to have to improve on. It's also about having the intelligence and instincts to know when to be a slasher, to know when to move off the ball to perhaps be, you know, a shooter, to know when to move off the ball to be a distraction, and things such as that. Those are all parts of Stanley's game that needs to improve. But in terms of natural ability, in terms of that projectability that a lot of NBA teams really want to have in the players that they pick when it comes to upside, Stanley offers a lot of it. On the flip side, while Stanley does offer a lot of natural athletic ability, he offers a lot of intrigue and he offers a lot of projectability, there are some red flags when it comes to his ability to improve as far as his IQ and, you know, his basic instinct goes. Stanley is not an attractive player at the moment when it comes to his decision making. There's a lot with the ball in his hands. There seems to be very limited ability, you know, to add value, you know, to, you know, allowing for an offensive scheme to flow, especially in the half court. You know, he has to rely on other teammates and other players to create a lot for him. Though he does know how to get to the rim and does know how to use his athleticism as an advantage. You know, you want him to do that as he's getting into the rim. You don't want the ball in his hands kind of as a creator. That secondary playmaker, creator, you know, type potential with Stanley right now, it is a bit questionable because of his lack of decision making. Of course, also, there's the ability to shoot. Now, Stanley did show some intriguing ability to shoot in college, especially in catch and shoot opportunities. You would think, you would hope at least, that someone as athletic as he is would have a bit of, you know, ability through his ball handling to create his own offense. That's not the case with Stanley. He can get to the rim with a very good first step past his defender, but that's mainly relying on his athleticism more than anything. There's not a lot of, you know, decision making or, you know, creativity, craftiness when it comes to his ability with his ball in his hands as an offensive player. So one thing that really does need to improve in terms of his offense is adding more value than just as a potential, you know, occasional first step to the rim type scorer or off-the-ball slasher on offense. He's got to prove his decision-making as a playmaker and hopefully as a shooter as well. Stats will show, though, here in the second segment, that there are some intrigue. There is some intrigue there that he will be able to do that. On defense, the other big thing about Stanley is that with his quickness and with his movement, he can be a disruptive force on defense. Not necessarily that good at the moment because, again, you know, his decision-making is something that's a work in progress. But when he gets focused, he has shown the ability to be a high-level defender because he can create disruptions, and he also had some decent ability to be able to create plays on defense through steals and blocks and things such as that. The other thing that really helps out Stanley's game in terms of his athleticism is his ability to rebound. He showed a very high ability to rebound as a guard, and again, in a game that's more focused on transition now than ever in the NBA, having that extra rebounding ability from the guard position really is encouraging. So Cassius Stanley, though he was only a freshman at Duke, he is an older freshman at the age of 21. He's a bit of a different makeup when it comes to the prospects that we talked about so far. A guy who offers that ideal projectability and athletic ability that you really want to see in a prospect when it comes to the NBA, but there's also the rawness of it. He's not as developed and not as, you know, close to a finished product as you would see due to his, still developments that's needed in his IQ and instinct going forward. But speaking of going forward, coming up, what we're going to do, we're going to look at the statistics of Stanley's game. How did he actually do when it came to being in the game? Some statistics do support that his athleticism can make a difference, but was there any type of, you know, statistical production that really offered hope that in needed areas of his game that needs to improve, that he can truly improve at the next level? We'll take a look at that in just a second. We all want to add to our day healthy benefits that can make our day better. You know, long term, things that can become a part of our routine. You know, just to be honest, without a lot of effort or inconvenience. You know, while a lot of times that's what's required to really get something out of adding healthy benefits, one thing that I know can check a lot of boxes for people is Built Bar. Built Bar is the candy bar that is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It combines both taste and health that could really add a lot of benefit to your day. And it's also very versatile. You could have it in the morning as breakfast. You could have it before or after a work workout, maybe in the afternoon when you're listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show. And it also has a wide assortment of flavors. My favorite is the peanut butter, but if you go to BuiltBar.com, you're going to be able to find a flavor that you're likely going to like. Also, if you go to BuiltBar.com, you put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order of Built Bar. That's $10 off your next order of Built Bar. But I can tell you this, it likely won't be your last. When you make Built Bar a part of your daily routine, it's going to be there for the foreseeable future. Again, go to BuiltBar.com and put in the promo code Locked On to get $10 off your next order of Built Bar. So from Zion to RJ Barrett to others who have recently started for the Duke Blue Devils as a freshman, obviously there is a long history of significant freshman talents that have started for Duke, and Stanley continued that tradition this past season. You know, in 29 games, he started 29 of them. Now, again, he probably was 2 years older than a lot of the freshmen that had started at Duke, but he still made his presence known through that athletic ability that we talked about and his ability to get out into the open court, especially in transition and on the run for the Blue Devils. On the season, Stanley averaged nearly 27.4 minutes per game. He averaged 12.6 points. He averaged 4.9 rebounds, 1 assist, 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks, 1.9 turnovers, and 2.2 fouls per game. Now, the thing about Stanley is that there wasn't a lot of shooting volume. He only had 9 shots per game, and a lot of those were close at the rim. A lot of those were, you know, at the rim as a finisher, close range when it comes to twos. He did average about 3 three-point shots per game and made nearly 36% of them. So that is an encouraging percentage from the three-point range. You may have wanted to see a little bit more volume from three, you know, to really get a good understanding of what he can do now as a three-point shooter and where he can improve. But still, 36% at the college level is at least a bit intriguing. Free throws wise, there wasn't a lot of production as far as getting to the rim and you know, leading to extra points. You know, he only had 3.6 free throw attempts per game. He did shoot 73% from free throw. Pretty average. You know, not a lot of encouragement there as far as, you know, his having significant development ability when it comes to his shot, but he certainly is respectable. He's not going to be a liability when it comes to him getting to the line. Now, obviously, the things that jump out are his 12.6 points per game. You know, again, he converted nearly 53% of his two-point shots and basically 47.5% of his overall field goal percentages. A lot of that, though, came from the ability to finish and ability to be out on the run. So while he does have encouraging field goal percentage abilities for a guard, you have to also think, okay, how much of that came from him actually creating for himself? Not a lot. How much of that came from the ability to shoot when it came to the mid-range and from his three-point shots? Not a lot. Again, it was from him being in transition, from him being a finisher on lobs, from him getting to the rim off the ball and allowing for others to set him up. So while he does have decent finishing ability, beyond that, when it comes to his ability as a scorer, there's not a lot of depth there. You know, he still is developing as a shooter, not only as a catch and shoot spot-up type shooter, but a pull-up shooter as well. He did show flashes where he could do both, but he's not to the level to where he can be reliable. That is coming off of people creating for him when it comes to his offense, when it comes to his spot-up shooting. In terms of his pull-up shooting, he can get open decently, you know, with some okay ball movement. He also can get to his spots quickly. But as I mentioned in the first segment, he does have the ability with a pretty good first step to get to the rim. But in terms of that, you know, intent, in terms of that ability to, you know, have the intent to create space for himself and having the crafty moves and the crafty footwork and ball handling, that's still very much a work in progress when it comes to Stanley's game. And at the age of 21, and with what you saw at Duke, you know, can he truly develop that much of that ability going forward in the NBA? That's going to be a big thing to watch out for, and it's kind of up in the air right now as to whether he'll truly prove that he can do that. He's got a lot of area to improve when it comes to actually making the most out of his athleticism and being able to create space, to create his own shot, and be a reliable shooter when it comes to his offense. Obviously, the rebounding is a big benefit. You know, he averaged 3 defensive rebounds per game, but he also averaged nearly 2 offensive rebounds per game. So that is one thing, that is one element to Stanley's game that you don't get in a lot of guards, especially on the offensive rebounding end. If he could come in, he could sit there and play 20 minutes a game for a team in the NBA, and get, you know, maybe three or four offensive rebounds every, you know, between every two games, that's a big boost, especially on the second unit. If he can get a couple of putbacks, or he can get, you know, a couple of extra possessions on long rebounds, that can make a key difference. That jumps out to me as being an indication that Cassius Stanley is the type of guy who could truly be a momentum-type guy off the bench. He's the type of guy who could put an emphatic dunk back off an offensive rebound, gain an offensive rebound for an extra possession, gain an offensive rebound to pass it back out to an open shooter. Cassius Stanley has that type of ability, so it does show that through his athleticism, there are ways in which he already has emerged as being a momentum shifter with what he can get done. Now, we talked about his offense plenty. You know, we talked about the fact that he's a good finisher, he's good in transition, he still has a lot to develop when it comes to his shot, but there are some intriguing, you know, options there when it comes to, you know, him being to develop as a shooter, especially right now as a catch-and three-point shooter. You know, in terms of his ability to develop as a shooter, the next step is utilizing his move-it to the extent to where it actually makes a difference on the perimeter. Being able to come off screens, being able to, you know, run without the ball, being able to work himself around defenders and knowing how to get himself open for open looks from three-pointers and even in the mid-range, that can be an extra element that if he becomes, you know, consistently decent to good at, that really could elevate his game to being, you know, from kind of a back of the rotation, you know, wing depth to being a key reserve or maybe even a spot starter if he can become, you know, extremely efficient in his off-ball movement. Over at Tankathon, a few things that really stand out about Cassius Stanley are his offensive rebounds, his blocks, his defensive rating, and his rebounds in general. As we mentioned, when it comes to his defensive ability, he certainly has the athleticism and the projectability to become someone who can make a difference on the ball by keeping up with the quicker players that are on offense. But another thing is that if he can improve his awareness, he also has tremendous ability to be a playmaker off the ball. Through steals, through blocks, being a help defender, being the type of guy who can come out of nowhere and alternate shots or steal passes and get out on transitions. That's the type of ability that you hope that you'll see when it comes to Cassius Stanley. However, again, with the developing intelligence and instinct that there's in his game, and there's still plenty of it that needs to be developed, I think he's someone who's going to show these things in flashes more than consistently, especially earlier in his career. That certainly has value, but it's not really something that you can bank on as far as him being, you know, a key reserve or of more significance in an NBA rotation. The thing about it, though, comes down to this when it comes to Cassius Stanley. When it comes to his profile as an NBA player, what is there that shows he has the ability to become more than a slasher and a guy who can offer flashes of good defense when he's on the court? There is intrigue there. You know, he did show the ability to be able to hit shots when he was open. He did show the ability that he can, you know, be smart with his athletic movement. And for a team like the Grizzlies that loves to get out on the run, there's also the intrigue of all the different dynamics he can offer as far as being in transition. But in the NBA, if you mainly can run around and finish, you know, in obvious opportunities that are created by others, yes, that has plenty of value. But you're also extremely limited. You're extremely limited to being kind of an end-of-the-rotation type player in the NBA. You know, we saw that with Josh Jackson's this past year. Now, Josh Jackson's more of a front court presence than he is a true guard or wing like Cassius Stanley is, but Josh Jackson was a good slasher. He was a very athletic type player who created chaos on defense, and there was a lot of, you know, natural instinct. There was a lot of intent when it came to Josh Jackson's defense. But the thing is at the end of the day, he was not that reliable as a playmaker. He was not that reliable as a shooter. And so in time, without there being, you know, just a truly, you know, significant area where he added benefit himself, where he truly made a difference other than being a, you know, play creator on offense, he found himself not really having a rotation spot in the bubble. And that's the fear that you have with someone like Cassius Stanley. Because, for instance, in his 1 year at Duke, Stanley had he had 30 total assists out of the guard position, but also 54 turnovers. That indicates decision-making that's not very positive. It doesn't give you a lot of faith that the decision-making is going to be there from the beginning with Stanley. So with the ball in his hands, if his scoring ability is not there, can he add value as allowing for offensive schemes to play themselves out or being a secondary playmaker? There's not a lot of faith in his game right now that can indicate that. So the big thing with Stanley is this, is that you know what he is. You know that he's an effective slasher. You know that he's highly effective when it comes to being in transition. Getting out in front of the, you know, getting out on the run, being there to be someone who could be a lob threat. He's a great alley-oop option. Going to be a great source of highlights. When it comes to the Grizzlies, they're all, you know, that was one thing that we heard highlighted about them before this season started last year, was that they're going to be one of the better sources of NBA highlights because of how quickly they can get on the run, how much they like to finish, and how athletic that this team is. Stanley can add to all of that when it comes to this Grizzlies team. But they have plenty of that already. What is there about Stanley's game that can make him add more than that instead of just being, you know, a redundant piece? What can make him stand out as truly a piece that can add value? Coming up, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. What keeps Stanley from being a redundant piece, and what can make him intriguing as an additional person on this Grizzlies roster that they can add to their future going forward? It can be awkward or embarrassing to talk about erectile dysfunction. It's just typically a subject men likely know that they need to embrace and face, but they just don't have the desire to do it. Usually they just brush it off or blame themselves. However, you know, there is now a source that can allow for it to be something that's easier to face and resolve, and that's Roman. Roman is here to get you the advice you want and to help you through and to help you get your need taken care of with no shame. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn and complete an online visit. If you go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn, you can actually get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. Again, that's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your free first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. So when it comes to the Grizzlies roster, we've talked about, you know, a lot of their a lot of what they're looking for when it comes to this type of pick in the 2020 draft, in my opinion, is focused on that wing depth and especially front court depth. But with Cassius Stanley, there's some versatility there. Of course, you've got plenty of guard depth already. You've got Ja Morant, you've got Tyus Jones, and then you've got Dillon, you've got De'Anthony Melton, Grayson Allen, John Contra. All these guys are already there. What stands out about Stanley that's not there with really any of these guys is his athletic ability as a finisher. Now, you've got the floor spacing, hopefully improving shooting ability of Dillon Brooks. You've got the all-around, you know, playmaking ability of De'Anthony Melton. You've got the spot-up shooting and intelligence and energy and effort with Grayson Allen, and you've got another all-around option in John Contra. Well, none of those guys truly offer the athleticism and open court ability that Cassius Stanley does. You know, besides Ja Morant, there's really no one on the Grizzlies who offers that. You do have Jaren Jackson Jr. and you have Brandon Clark in the front court who can run the court and who can really be there as players that can create plays on defense and then can go finish on offense. But the Grizzlies really don't have that type of option in terms of their backcourt and their wing. Justice Winslow potentially could be that, but Stanley stands out as an addition that would offer that type of ability in the backcourt. So when it comes to answering the question in a crowded backcourt, what is something that Cassius Stanley can offer this team that they don't already have? It's that backcourt finishing off an option in transition. So I do think that he makes sense in terms of that, in terms of being able to add something that we know that Taylor Jenkins prefers, and that's a lot of ability in the front court and upside in transition. But I do think that when it comes to Stanley's fit with the Grizzlies, it really also is going to come down to what they feel about his projectability. As they mentioned, they want high IQ, high effort, highly productive players. Cassius Stanley doesn't stand out as that type of player at this point in time. He doesn't stand out as that type of player who, with the ball in his hands, is going to offer a lot of opportunity outside of finishing or maybe making the occasional drive or spot-up shot. He's going to have to clearly show this Grizzlies team that his decision-making is something that can continue continue to develop as a secondary playmaker at times, as someone who might be able to create his own shot, as someone who off the ball can create distractions with how good he is moving off the ball and potentially be able to get it done to where he could be a movement three-point and mid-range shooter that could really add to the Grizzlies' ability on offense with their elite passing ability. That's a lot of different things that Cassius Stanley could potentially do, but there's not a lot out there right now that suggests he'll be able to do it, you know, immediately, at least. I do think that if you get Stanley with his projectability into the system that the Grizzlies have in place with Taylor Jenkins, I do think that there is a good chance he could become more than what is expected of him. I do think that he can develop into some of these areas, but it really is going to have to depend on how the Grizzlies view him. That's the big difference between Stanley and these other players. You know less about what he can become because you've had less of a chance to see them, and also because he's not as developed in a lot of these other areas that really need to be there to make him valuable in the NBA. So that's what it comes down to with, you know, Stanley. He does add an element to the Grizzlies' game that we know that they value. He does add plenty of value through transition. He offers plenty of upside when it comes to his defense, and he also offers some okay projectability when it comes to his ability to shoot. But with so many areas that still need to develop in his game, do the Grizzlies feel he's worth the investment over maybe a more certain product that they think that they can elevate above that player's ceiling? You know, I think at the end, Stanley is certainly someone that makes sense, especially if you see Melton head elsewhere, you see, you know, a trade involving one of the Grizzlies' guards, you see perhaps a trade of Kyle Anderson, and obviously you lose Josh Jackson as well. If you lose some of this wing depth for whatever reason may be out there, I think that Cassius Stanley makes sense as someone for the Grizzlies to add to their rotation, especially as that very end of the bench, that 10th or 11th option off the bench, that could really add that athletic element to what the Grizzlies want to do. And finally, the other big thing about it is that we've talked about several different areas that, you know, you hope that Stanley develops in, that he needs to develop in. He also has the aspect of having a higher ceiling than a lot of the other options that are going to be there in the second round. While it's probably less of a chance that Stanley reaches his maximum ceiling than some other players will be able to produce above their ceiling that I've talked about, he still offers plenty of intriguing upside. If there is the ability to develop, you know, to significantly develop his decision-making, his IQ, and his instincts on both ends of the court, his natural ability is going to make Stanley a significantly valuable player. So if you're looking for if you're from the perspective of, you know, with the Grizzlies being where they are in terms of their rebuild, in terms of only having one draft pick in this draft, they need to continue to view upside and draft based off that. I think that's where Stanley also really jumps off the page. So there's plenty of sense in Cassius Stanley being an option for the Grizzlies at the number 40th pick. I see why, especially through The Athletic, he was linked to them so consistently because of the fact that he was a guard and wing depth type opportunity for Memphis, because he was had a lot of natural ability in terms of his athleticism, and because of the Grizzlies showed that they can be a true source of developing and a culture that can really allow for a player to reach, you know, his maximum ability in terms of his development, I think that Stanley also could be in a good position to do that in Memphis. So Stanley stands out as someone that, yes, I do think will probably be high up on the list for the Grizzlies when it comes to what they're considering at that number 40 pick. It's hard to deny his natural ability, and it's also hard to deny the upside that the Grizzlies are looking for, you know, when it comes to their ability to develop, you know, depth on the roster. But there also are plenty of red flags. You know, as much as the athleticism is great to see, you know, in the type of game that's in the NBA now, decision-making is so key. No matter how many highlight plays you can make, if you're following them up by making, you know, less than ideal plays that negate the value of those good moments, you know, at the end of the day, you're likely going to be more of a liability than an asset. I do think that there's plenty of risk that Stanley, you know, could have that in his career, but I also think there's plenty of intrigue that really makes him a sensible target for the Grizzlies at that number 40 pick, according to how their board progresses. Been a pleasure talking with you. Great talking about another intriguing prospect in Cassius Stanley. I do think that he's a bit different from the other prospects that we've talked about in terms of the upside that his natural athletic ability offers. So I'd be happy to see the Grizzlies take him. Even with the depth that they have at their guard position, Stanley can play on the wing at multiple positions and also, you know, could fit right into different rotations in terms of his defensive potential and what he can do based off the Grizzlies' elite passing ability, you know, in the open court and as a finisher. So again, at the end of the day, I think Cassius Stanley is certainly someone that does make sense for the Grizzlies and someone that I certainly would, you know, be glad to see them take at the number 40 pick. You can find me on Twitter at StatsSEC. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your iPhone. And we do ask, when you listen to the podcast, you know, please subscribe, listen, review. We want to make sure that we always are providing content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. The reason we do that, the reason that we do this is for information, is for entertainment, and it is purely for adding value to your day as Grizzlies fans. So we always want to make sure we're providing the best content to do that. We're going to continue the prospect profiles this week. Again, don't want to give too much away, but we're going to continue to talk about names that have been linked to the Grizzlies and looking forward to it. Hope that you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.